And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And you'll be able to answer the question, who do you say I am? The same way that Peter did, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, my Savior. Easter Sunday. The world celebrates with a different emphasis than we do. They put the emphasis on the Easter bunny, new clothes, family get-togethers, and all those are good things, and we're going to partake in some of those ourselves today. But if the only thing that you think of is the bunny, the clothes, and the family, you've missed the main point of the day. The main point of Easter is the resurrection, the day we celebrate the defeat of sin and the defeat of death and the defeat of the grave, the day we celebrate the gospel that's spelled out in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Bible says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Most of us are here today because we believe that, and we've already asked Jesus to be our Savior. Perhaps you're here today because somebody asks you. You may not believe it, but you respect it and you have an open mind to it. And I would just point out to you today, how you celebrate Easter is determined by what you think of Christ. Who was he? Who do you think he is? One day Jesus asked his disciples this very question. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremias or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Some people today still haven't grasped that truth. You ask them, who is Jesus? They'll say, well, he was a good man. He was a teacher. He was a preacher. He was a healer. He was a peacemaker. And some are still looking for him to come as king, one who will take control of this world and rule in righteousness and rule in peace. In fact, many in Jesus' day thought that that's why he came, to be a king, to set up his kingdom here on earth and rule as the Jewish king. In fact, it says in the book of Matthew chapter 21, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and setting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. One day Jesus will come back as king, and he will rule this earth 1,000 years in righteousness and peace. And as it says in the book of Philippians, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. He will be king, but he didn't come as king when he came the first time. He came as a lamb, the Lamb of God, to be offered as a sacrifice for our sins. You see, the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. It says in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it tells us in Romans chapter 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. But God loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that he could come and die in our place and pay for our sins. It says in the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, since the Garden of Eden, God has used lambs to picture what his Son would one day do for us. It was a lamb that was killed in the Garden of Eden to make a covering for Adam and Eve's nakedness. Abraham told Isaac as they were headed up the mountain to where God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And when Isaac said, Dad, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham told Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. The Passover lamb was killed to protect the life of the firstborn. It was killed and the blood was shed on the doorpost so the death angel would pass over. And the lamb slain and the blood shed in the Jewish system of worship were thousands and thousands and thousands down through the years. And again, they were all pictures and patterns of what Jesus would one day do for us. It says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? He came, he shed his blood, not because we deserved it, but because we were sinners, because he loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But the gospel doesn't end in death. It doesn't end in the tomb. The Bible tells us without the resurrection that all is in vain. But there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom if he raised not up, it so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If there is no resurrection, there is no hope. But praise God, there was a resurrection. Our Savior is no longer dead. He's no longer in the grave. He arose. He defeated death. He defeated the grave. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we end this morning with the same question that we started with. How you celebrate today depends on how you answer the question, who do you say I am? So who is he to you this morning? A historical figure? A teacher? A good man? Or can you say, like Peter did, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who died for me, my Savior? If you've never asked him to be your Savior, you need to do it today. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never received him, you need to do it today. Because the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for the message of the cross, the message of the empty tomb, the message of a resurrected Savior. And I pray, Father, if there's just one person here this morning, or two, or three, or however many there are, I pray, Father, that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior, this morning they would understand they're a sinner. And there's a penalty for that sin, but that when Jesus died, he paid our penalty. He paid what we owed. And if we, by faith, believe that, and by faith come and ask him, he'll save us this very day, this very hour, this very minute, this very moment. And so I pray for every man, every woman, every teenager that's here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior. I pray, Father, that right now, where they sat, they would pray that prayer that you taught the sinner to pray, Lord, save me, a sinner. Save me. And I pray, Father, if they prayed that in just a minute, that they'd walk down this aisle and they'd share that decision with us. I pray you'd bless this time of invitation. Again, Father, take charge. Holy Spirit, just move in our lives, and even to Christians that are here, if there's something in our life that shouldn't be, I pray that the Holy Spirit would point it out and we'd use this time to make a new promise to get rid of it. Again, Father, just bless the invitation. We'll give Jesus all the glory for everything that's done. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.